So, Kapiladev mentioned that the pivot is the mind in this Adhyatmik Yoga. If the mind is attached to matter, it causes bondage. The same mind when attached to the Supreme Lord, it becomes the cause of liberation. What are the symptoms of that liberated mind? He tells in these three verses. We will chant the three verses together. Aham mama abhimanottaihi kama lobadi birmalaihi vitam yadamana shuddham adukkam masukam samam tada purusha atmanam kevalam prakrite param nirantaram swayam jyotir animanam akanditam jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripashyatyudasinam prakritim cha hataujasam. He says, yada manaha vitam. Vitam means free. When the mind is free from kama lobadibir malaihi, from the contaminations of lust, anger, greed, etc. But where do these impurities come from? Aham mama abhimana uttaihi kama lobadibir malaihi. The contaminations of lust and greed arising from the false identity of I and mine. So when the mind is free of these contaminations, that is one of the symptoms that he is a liberated person. Shuddham and becomes pure. Adukkam asukam samam. Neither afflicted with grief and nor afflicted with joy when one gets success. Dukkesho anudvignamana sukesho vigata spriha. Samam and peaceful. Tada, at that point of time, at that stage of liberation. Purusha atmanam prakrite param. The jiva sees himself to be different from prakriti. Till now he was observing or he was identifying the gross or subtle body to be the self, but now he sees the gross or subtle body to be different from the self. Kevalam, pure, swayam jyotihi, he sees that he is full of knowledge. Nirantaram, nirantaram means without any coverings. He sees that not only does he not identify with the body, but he is not even seeing those as his coverings. He has cut that thread connecting the soul and the gross and subtle body. Udasinam, unattached. Paripashyati prakritim cha hata ojasam. And he is still, ojas means power. Hata ojasam means powerless. And all of a sudden he realizes that this prakriti who was controlling me till now has lost all her power to control me. Prakritim cha hata ojasam. No longer he sees himself being subservient to the control of prakriti. But how did he reach such an exalted stage? It is mentioned, jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena cha atmana. By a mind that is endowed with jnana and vairagya and principally with bhakti. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena cha atmana. With a mind that is principally endowed with bhakti, the personality has reached this stage. So what are the symptoms of liberation? When the mind is freed from the contaminations of kama, loba, etc., lust, anger, greed, born out of false identification, and it becomes pure, and not being afflicted with grief or joy, and it is full of knowledge. The soul is of course full of knowledge,
But then he is perceiving it now. Till now he never thought. Paripashyati prakritim cha hata ojasam. And he realizes that now I realize that this prakriti which was controlling me all the while has lost her power to control me. I am no longer being controlled by prakriti like that. And how did he become so qualified? Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena cha atmana. By his mind endowed with jnana and vairagya and principally with bhakti. That's how he has become so qualified. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this verse, he says, jnana and yoga only assist bhakti in giving liberation. And such an assistance is not needed for a practitioner of pure devotee, pure devotional service. Only for the other mixed practitioners whose shraddha is mixed, when they have mixed faith, then they need the assistance of jnana and yoga. But otherwise, bhakti does not need any assistance of jnana or yoga to give liberation. It is just that these people have mixed faith, that's why. Yeah. No. Oh, that is bhakti only. That jnana and vairagya which are born out of bhakti are considered as bhakti, because bhakti and its byproducts. We are talking about this jnana and yoga which are not byproducts of bhakti. This jnana is principally it is impersonalistic. Impersonalistic in the sense the Abheda Shrutis, you know, the Shruti has some texts which talk about the qualitative oneness between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So, the Jnana Yogis, they exclusively study such texts in order to increase their desire to merge in the impersonal Brahman. But these are not very favorable for practice of pure devotion, because the more one keeps reading the oneness aspect, the living entity loses the desire to serve, because he thinks that if both of us are same, non-different, why should I serve? So this jnana refers to that jnana which is not so favorable for bhakti. It's not non-Vedic jnana, it's definitely given in Vedas, but then there is an overemphasis on the oneness, which sort of when we come to, these are not actually distinct in one sense. The practice of jnana yoga contains aspects of ashtanga yoga also, it contains aspects of bhakti yoga also. Similarly, if you see ashtanga yoga, the 28th chapter, it contains aspects of jnana yoga also. The primary emphasis is in yoga, concentration. A jnana yogi, in order to, because it's, you know, the non-difference, reading the non-difference is not so exciting in one sense. So he needs to keep his concentration. So performance of some ashtanga yoga helps him develop that concentration to concentrate on these scriptures. At the same time, he needs the process that he is, the endeavor that he is undertaking has to fructify also. For that he performs some bhakti limbs also. Same with the ashtanga yogi. He also needs some proper sambandha jnana. For that he also reads, performs some aspects of jnana also. And he also performs some aspects of bhakti. So both jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga, in their abhideya contains elements of all three. So then he says, the mind becomes free of the contaminations by Shama and Dama, which is the process of Jnana, and by Yama and Niyama, which are the elements of Yoga. These are the Angas of Jnana and Yoga. The effects of purification are described. What are the effects of purification? Being without sorrow, adukkam, asukam, samam. At that time, the jiva sees himself separate from ignorance. Purushaha prakritehe param. Till now he was wrongly identifying, now he is rightly identifying. He is devoid of the obstacles of gross and subtle bodies. Nirantaram. That is the meaning of nirantaram. He has uncovered knowledge. Swayam Jyoti. The living entity has knowledge, but it is covered by matter. Like for example, Prabhupada in NOD writes that you see an aborigine. An aborigine, you see, he pays obeisances to a huge banyan tree or a mountain, or when he sees something gigantic. So he says that this is because his real knowledge is covered, and a very hazy understanding is coming out. But still, the fact that he is paying obeisances indicates that there is real knowledge inside which is covered. So, but here, Swayam Jyotihi, uncovered knowledge. Animanam means he is subtle. The Lord himself says, Sukshmanam api aham jivaha. Of the subtle objects, I am the jiva. Which means jiva is quite subtle. This means by nature, the jiva is a very small particle. Keshagra shatabhagasya. So, he says that it's very small. By the mind endowed with jnana and vairagya, and by bhakti, to which jnana and vairagya are mere assistants, and without which they bear no results, the jiva sees himself unattached. So the jnana and vairagya, they assist bhakti here. In a mixed practitioner, in a pure devotee, for them, the bhakti itself will create the necessary jnana and vairagya. Janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam chayadahaitukam. He sees his own ignorance, which is unable to do anything to him. Prakritim cha hata ojasam. So he sees that no longer is this prakriti able to outpower me, or what do you say, overpower me. So like that. So these are the symptoms of a mind which has been liberated. Symptoms of a mind of a liberated person. Either through practice of pure devotion, or by practice of Jnana Yoga, or by practice of Ashtanga Yoga. However, one may have reached this stage of liberation, but these are the symptoms of a liberated mind. Srila Prabhupada writes here, in the purport of 16th verse, the difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. So I'll read some sections of Prabhupada's purport. If possible, you can try to identify what part of the verse Prabhupada is talking about. The difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and the consciousness. Yada manaha vitam kama lobadibir malaihi. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. Adukkam asukam samam. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness, and this can be done by the Bhakti Yoga system. Like that. Okay. Then, in the purport of 18th verse, Prabhupada says, self-realization is the position of the liberated state. And then he says, one understands this his constitutional position by knowledge and vairagya or renunciation. Jnana vairagya yuktena. Without knowledge, one cannot have realization. The realization that one is the infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit makes him unattached to material conditional life. So Prabhupada is talking about what is that knowledge? Jnana vairagya yuktena. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, one cannot engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, it is stated, Jnana vairagya yuktena, when one is in full knowledge of one's constitutional position and is in the renounced order of life, detached from material attraction, then by pure devotional service, bhakti yuktena, he can engage himself as a loving servant of the Lord. Then Prabhupada writes, paripashyati means that he can see everything in its right perspective. Then the influence of the material nature becomes almost nil. What is Prabhupada talking about? Prakritim cha hatojasam. Like that. Okay, so these are the symptoms of the mind which has been liberated, or the mind of a liberated person. These are the symptoms. And this can be achieved by Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. But here, Kapila Dev makes a point here in this 19th verse. He says, Na yujyamanaya bhaktya bhagavatya kilatmani sadrishosti shivapanta yoginam brahma siddhaye. Na sadrisho asti shivapanta. There is no auspicious path or no better auspicious path. Yoginam brahma siddhaye. For these practitioners to attain the perfection, there is no better path. Bhagavati yujyamanaya bhaktya. Except a type of bhakti which is most suitable for realizing the Supreme Lord. Who is that Lord? Akhilatmani, the soul of all beings. He says, even though there are these three paths of Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, but of the three, bhakti is the best. Na yujyamanaya bhaktya bhagavatyakhilatmani sadrushosti shivapanta yoginam brahma siddhaye. For achieving the perfection of liberation, bhakti is the sure shot and most effective path. That's what he is indicating. Same thing we saw Sukadeva Goswami also in the second canto. After speaking about the various paths, he said, Nayato anya shivapanta vishataha samsrita viha Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhavet. Of all the paths that I have described, there is no path which is better than this path of Bhakti Yoga for extricating oneself from this ocean of material existence. This is the best path. Like that he was. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, that knowledge and renunciation are never perfect unless joined by devotional service is explicitly stated here. Na yujyamanaya bhaktya. Yujyamanaya means joined by. That's how Prabhupada takes. Unless that path is joined by bhakti, or unless that practice has the element of bhakti, one cannot achieve perfection. That is Prabhupada's translation of this. Na yujyamanaya means without being dovetailed. When there is devotional service, then the question is where to offer the service. Like that. So then Prabhupada later writes, in the beginning of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that when one engages himself in the devotional service of Vasudev, spiritual knowledge and renunciation of the material world automatically become manifest. Which verse?
Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha.
Thus a devotee does not have to try separately for renunciation or knowledge. Devotional service itself is so powerful that by one's service attitude, everything is revealed. It is stated here, Shiva Panta, this is the only auspicious path for self-realization. The path of devotional service is the most confidential means for attaining Brahman realization. Like that.
So he has mentioned that even though these three paths are there, and these three paths are capable of giving liberation, but of the three, bhakti is the most potent and most auspicious. Okay. And then the question arises, how does one get this bhakti? So he says, prasangam ajaram pasham atmanakkavayo viduhu saeva sadhu shukrito mokshadvaram apavritam. Kavayo viduhu, the intelligent people know, prasangam. Prasangam means intimate association. Atmanaha ajaram pasham. Here prasangam talks about material association or bad association. Bad association means atmanaha ajaram pasham. Pasham means bondage. Ajaram means that which never becomes old. Jara means old age. Ajaram means that which never slackens or becomes weak. Ajaram pasham. That pasha which never becomes weak. Sa eva, that very same prasangam, sadhu shukrito, when taken up with devotees, that very same association, mokshadvaram apavritam, the door of liberation becomes open. Okay, so the means to attain bhakti is by association of devotees.
Same thing actually, whatever Kapiladev is telling Mother Devahuti. Devahuti herself mentioned to Kardamuni. Sangoya samsriter hetur asatsu vihito diya saeva sadhu shikrito nissangatvaya kalpate. She told. Sangoya samsriter hetu. The bad association is the cause of samsriti or samsara. Saeva sadhu shikrito nissangatvaya kalpate. That same association, when taken up with devotees, becomes the cause of liberation. So basically here he is telling, the association of devotees is the means to attain bhakti. And that bhakti is the best way to attain liberation. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Saeva sadhu shukrito mukshadvaram apavritam. Consciousness therefore is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Later Prabhupada writes, a living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. That is the nature of living entity. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Like that Prabhupada writes. Then later towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada writes, if we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us the instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contaminated material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni, first of all, instructs that the path of liberation begins with such an association. So, he says that the means of attaining bhakti is association of devotees. That's how one gets bhakti. Like we saw previously, Mahat Kripa, Mahat Seva, then Mahat Seva leads to Agyat Sukriti. And accumulation of Agyata Sukriti gives rise to Shraddha. That Shraddha heralds the beginning of bhakti. So ultimately, and in the first case, it is the sadhu who is aware that this is how he can get bhakti. So he gives his association. Whereas the person who is taking the association, he doesn't know. He thinks that, oh, this person is a fine gentleman. He is a nice person. He is very friendly. He gives me nice food stuff, tasty food stuff. You know, one may take association for that purpose. But what he does not know is he is accumulating some impressions, which will, fructify in the form of Shraddha. So that is why that association is Agyata association. He doesn't know that he is actually associating with a devotee. That is Sadhu Sangha. And then he gets Shraddha, and then again he seeks Sadhu Sangha. So after Shraddha, he is seeking Sadhu Sangha. Before Shraddha, the sadhu is seeking him. Because he knows that is the only way he can get Shraddha. After Shraddha is born, he can leave him. Then he will seek sadhus. So that is the difference between Sadhu Sangha before Shraddha and after Shraddha. Sadhu Sangha leads to Shraddha. Shraddha leads to Sadhu Sangha. Okay. The first Sadhu Sangha is sadhu seeking that person. The second Sadhu Sangha is that person seeking sadhus. Because he has realized that I want to progress. The purpose of my life is to please Krishna. And if I have to progress in that direction, I need the association of devotees. It's a conscious search. And in previous to Shraddha, it's a conscious search by the sadhu. He does not have it. Let me try to give it to him. Like that. So one gets bhakti only by sadhu sangha. But then, who is a sadhu? How do I identify a sadhu? Kapila Dev tells next. So in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni understood, of course, it's all case to case basis, because Narada Muni understood that at this point of time, this is what would work for Dhruva Maharaj. So he gave that process. In the case of Prahlad Maharaj, when did he go alone? I don't remember. Prahlad Maharaj did not. Oh, Pandavas, when did they stay away? They had association of each other. Sadhu Sangha only. Krishna left, but they had... See, leaves and see what is mentioned in Bhagavatam is only a particular episode for mentioning a, that is a particular purpose. It's not a very historical account or the biography of all these people. So, I mean, it is mentioned about Ambarish Maharaj that all the while he would take association of devotees and keep performing devotional activities. Jada Bharat, even, of course, in that pastime, before he became a deer, he fell for a particular reason. And then, as soon as he becomes a deer, where does he run to? Let's take the question case of Jada Bharat first. True, but he was trying to create association there. So even choice is not there, what you can do? You have to create association. That's what he was doing. And because Hiranyakashipu was in control. Case of Jada Bharat, it is mentioned that when he was with his family members, they were in mode of passion, rajas. They wanted to exploit him, use him for their own this thing. They were in mode of passion. So, preaching in the form of good instructions would have not worked. So, just by staying with them and giving his association, he purified them. That is the way he purified. Then it is mentioned that when the dacoits caught him, they were completely in mode of ignorance. So, the way he purified them or the way he helped them progress little further was till then they had no personal association of Kali. So, because they came in touch with Jada Bharat, he gave them the personal association of, this is not my mental speculation, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions this in one of his purports. And when he saw Rahuguna, he saw that here is a person who is in goodness. Here is a person who can appreciate my association in the form of my vani. Then he opens his mouth and gives him. But in the whole life of Jada Bharat, it is Bhagavatam doesn't say that Rahugan was the only person to whom he spoke. That's why the principle is mentioned here. To certain people, a Madhyam Adhikari is Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Of the four, to only one kind he speaks. When innocent people are there, favorable, who can appreciate association in the form of Vani, only to those people you speak. We don't speak to everyone. It is not necessary. Ultimately, it boils down to what can create some appreciation. To some people, speaking can create appreciation. To some people, not speaking can create better appreciation. So, you keep quiet. So, the principle is mentioned. And very few, two or three incidents are quoted from his life. But it's not like a Bhagavatam does not give a complete historical account of the life of Jada Bharat. So many other incidents would have happened. Let's say he lived for even 40-45 years. What is given is just very short account. He would have met so many other people, spoke with some people, would not have spoken with some people. So it's like a very summary or very short account. His speech with Rahugun being the highlight that is mentioned. And Rahugun like personalities who were favorable, it should be understood that he would have spoken to them and transformed them also. All of them should be understood in the same light, in my understanding. I think, as I said, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, that is the principle. Wherever they see a scope where they can contribute through speaking, they speak. Wherever it's not appreciated, they don't. That's my understanding. Okay. So, then he says, so who is a sadhu? How we can identify a sadhu? So he says, titikshavakka runika suhurdas sarvadehinam ajata shatra vashantaha sadavo sadhu bhushana. So first he tells the secondary qualities of a sadhu. Tatastha lakshan. Titikshava, he is very tolerant. Karunika, very merciful. Suhrida sarvadehinam, friendly to all beings. Ajata shatrava, without enemies. Shanta, very gentle. Sadhava, straightforward. Sadhu bhushana, respectful to other devotees. Or as Prabhupada writes, sadhu bhushana means these qualities are the ornaments of a devotee. That is the second understanding. Another understanding that Srila Vishnajagati Thakur gives is, just like one would very carefully put the bhushanas into a locker or a treasure chest. Similarly, the devotees consider other sadhus as bhushana. They handle them with utmost care and affection. Just like one would handle a very precious ornaments, like that, sadhu bhushana. They consider the sadhus as bhushana, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, a sadhu as described above is a devotee of the Lord. His concern therefore is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. Like that. This is his preaching. As Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Dante nidaya trinakam padayor nipatya kritvanjalim kakushatam bravimi. He sadhava sakalametad vihaya durad Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kuruta Anuragam. He says that. This is the mood of the preacher. Dante Nidaya Trinakam. He takes a grass in his mouth. This is again if we are aware of that cultural practice, we can appreciate it. It's a way of expressing humility. It's not expressing hunger. I am very hungry, that if you don't give me something, I'll start eating grass. It's not like that. Dante nidaya trinakam padayor nipatyan, falling at his feet. Kritvanjalim, with folded hands. Kaku shatam bravimi. He starts flattering that person. This is good flattery, which we should do. You're so nice. And then he says, Hey sadhu. Sakalametad vihaya durat. Now keep all of that aside. Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanuragam. Please develop some affection for the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. he mentions, you know. So this is the mode of preaching. So when one expresses humility and in one's preaching initially, automatically from the other side any kind of hostility is sort of removed. Then that person becomes favorable to hear. So Srila Prabhupada further writes, while engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. He has the thankless job of impressing upon them, which means he has to make an impression. Which means he has to open that person up first. He must be willing to hear us. Otherwise, we may just give and go, but he may not have the vessel to hold what is being given. So if the vessel is not there, the vessel has to be created and given, and then give the message. Like that. Basically, a favorable appreciative mood and ambience has to be created, where some appreciation is there for the person mainly, because he has to hear from that person. Then further Prabhupada writes, he is merciful, karunika, because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. Suhrida sarvadehinam, because he is suhrida sarvadehinam, he is karunika, like that. But a well-wisher of animal society, he is not only a well-wisher of human society, but he is a well-wisher of animal society as well. So sarva dehinam means all living entities, not necessarily all human beings alone. It is said here, sarva dehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Like that. So these are the secondary characteristics of a sadhu. Then he says, what is the primary characteristic of a sadhu? He says, mayananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam matkrite tyakta karmanas tyakta swajana bhandavah. He says, ye kurvanti, these people do, mayi dridam bhaktim, these people practice steady devotional service unto me. Ananyena bhavena, it's not that 2 hours they perform dedicated worship of Krishna and after 2 hours they do dedicated worship of some other demigod, not like that. Ananyena bhavena, with exclusive devotion only unto Krishna. Matkrite tyakta karmana, with a desire to attain me, they give up all other actions. All other actions here indicates all other varnashram duties. Tyakta swajana bandhava, to the extent of giving up even their friends and relatives. Tyakta swajana bandhava. Of course, this is not a primary symptom to give up the friends and relatives. The main symptom is actually mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. This is the primary symptom. And as a result of it, because they are so intensely engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord, they may end up not having time for their other attachments. But many times because we may have an escaping mentality, we may say that, you know, I don't have to feel obliged to anyone because I am doing bhakti. Devarshi bhutaptananam pitranam nakinkaro nayam rinicharajan. Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Gartum. So we always may tend to quote this verse to say that, you know, I am not obligated. But a true devotee does not use this verse as a defense. A true devotee is not obligated at all, but he feels very much obligated. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he told his mother that, my dear mother, you know, I am not a good son. You know, somehow in my state of unstable mind, I took this decision. But you tell me what I should do. So like that, he genuinely felt that he was not doing his duty properly. So this verse is spoken in the context of this verse is to pacify those devotees who feel like I am taking so much amenities from or so much help from so many people, my parents, my relatives, but still, you know, I am not doing anything for their well-being. When a pure devotee is feeling like that, in order to pacify him, it is mentioned that, don't worry, just water the root and you are taking care of everyone. All your obligations are being fulfilled by watering the root. Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam. But a devotee feels very much obliged. He always feels that I have not done my job as a son. I have not done my job as a friend. But the means by which he fulfills those obligations is by taking up the process of devotional service very sincerely. But to feel not obligated, then we will carry it over to our devotional circles also. We will not feel obliged to the spiritual master also. Basically, not feeling obliged means not feeling grateful. So, a true devotee feels very grateful to his parents, teachers, friends, relatives, from whomever he has received anything. Okay? But this Devarshi Bhutapta verse comes only to pacify that person who is feeling that, you know, I should be doing more. To pacify him by telling, don't worry, you are doing. Just by practice of bhakti, everyone, you are fulfilling your obligations to everyone. You need not individually do it. In order to pacify such a sincere, grateful devotee, this verse is there. This verse is not meant to be taken otherwise, in any other way which can reduce our gratitude. So, commenting on this verse, it is mentioned, giving up all obligations, parihritya kartam, here means that the devotee rejects the distraction of one's attention caused by thinking that Indra or Chandra must also be worshipped. So it is only to reject the distraction of one's attention. That does not mean he does not feel obliged to Indra or Chandra. He very much feels obliged to everyone from whom even he has received a little bit of help, he feels very much obliged. But this verse is given to assure him that by doing bhakti alone, all these obligations are taken care, so don't worry. Having surrendered, that person has destroyed all prarabdha karmas and consequently destroys being situated in varnashram. That person is no longer obliged to perform regular varnashram duties like that. So that sense of obligation he has to definitely feel. Any sincere devotee always feels that sense of obligation. Like yesterday we saw this program, you know, very, it was such a wonderful, heart-touching program where Radhesham Prabhu and everyone was sharing, you know, what they received from their mother. One could say that, you know, Devarshi Bhutapta Nanam Pitranam, you know, I am not at all obligated. It's not like that. It is in the sense that one should not think that those obligations can be fulfilled one should not think that those obligations need to be fulfilled individually. It can be collectively at once fulfilled by worshipping Krishna. That is the emphasis there. The emphasis is not you have no obligations. That is not the emphasis. That verse emphasis is in how to fulfill that obligation is the emphasis of that verse. One can fulfill those obligations by only worshipping Krishna. That is the purpose of that verse. The purpose of that verse is not to say that a devotee need not feel obligated to any person. It's not like that. So here he says, Mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. They perform steady bhakti, exclusive devotion. Matkrite tyakta karvana. Giving up all actions to attain me. Which means they give up even their varnashram duties. Tyakta svajana bandhava. Giving up even their friends and relatives. Like that. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, he renounces everything for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A sannyasi is generally in the renounced order of life, but his renunciation will be successful only when his energy is employed in the service of the Lord with great austerity. It is said here, therefore, bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. Dridam means staunch. Staunch practice of devotional service. As soon as he, later Prabhupada writes, as soon as he takes his birth in the world, a person has so many responsibilities and obligations to the public, to the demigods, to the great sages, to the general living beings, so to his parents, to the family, forefathers and many others. When he gives up all such obligations for the service of the Lord, he is not punished for such renunciation of obligation. But if for sense gratification, a person renounces all such obligations, he is punished by the law of nature. Like that. Okay. So this is the primary quality of a devotee. One or 150. Okay. So then he says, okay, this is the primary quality. He does steady bhakti with exclusive devotion. Then, how does he spend his time? How does he engage himself throughout the day? That is described in the next verse. Madashraya katamrishtaha shrinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividastapa naitan madgata chetasaha. So he says, madashraya, taking shelter of me, shrinvanti katayanti cha, they recite and listen mrishtaha kata. Mrishta kata means pure stories, which means Krishna kata. And because of such an engagement, because they are absorbed in hearing and discussing Krishna kata, na tapanti, they are not afflicted by vivida tapa, the various kinds of material miseries. Why? Madgata chetasa, because their minds are fully absorbed in me. So any kind of absorption, one can has the capacity of making one forget the miseries, temporary miseries. Like it is mentioned that one of the one of the Sikh heroes, I don't remember his name, so he was fighting and he was so absorbed in fighting for the cause that his head was chopped, and for a few seconds, he was still wielding the sword and trying to kill people. After that, it fell down. Anyone knows? I mean, I've heard this story. Forgot it's who it's about. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Like that, there are a few examples. So he says that mad gata chetasa, because their minds are completely absorbed in me, they are not afflicted by material miseries. So that's what here it is mentioned. So their activity is, they are absorbed in hearing and chanting. So same thing, Dhruva Maharaj also says, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solvanamuru vyasanam bhavabdim neshye bhavad gunakatamrita panam mattah. He says, intoxicated by hearing and discussing your Krishna Katha, I will very easily cross over this ocean of material existence, which is like Uru Bhavabdim, Uru Vyasanam. Yena Anjasa Ulbanam Uru Vyasanam Bhavabdim Neshe, he says. This is really difficult to cross ocean of material existence. I shall easily combat by being engaged in your intoxicating Krishna Katha. And Prahlad Maharaj also says the same thing. Naivodvijay paraduratyaya vaitaranyas tvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. So he says, naivodvijay paraduratyaya vaitaranya. I am not at all disturbed by the insurmountable Vaitarani of the material worlds, hellish material world. Why? Because tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Because my mind is absorbed in the great sweetness of singing your glories. Therefore, I am not feeling any distress of this material world. No adhyatmik, adhibhautik and adhidevik kleshas are affecting me. Okay. Like that, he says here. And same thing is mentioned here. These devotees are engaged in discussing Krishna Katha, because of which they are, because of such an absorption, they are not affected by the threefold miseries. That's how they spend their time. Quote, a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because it's not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. So if Ambarish Maharaj spoke, he must have spoken to someone. Right? So that's how he spent all his time. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls. So that's what yesterday His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was also mentioning. Dukkha na ganila, when he was speaking about Madhavendra Puri. So Dukkha na ganila means he never counted or contemplated or reflected upon what were the various miseries that I went through. So if because he was completely absorbed in the service of the Lord. So Prabhuji was mentioning that whatever one takes very seriously, he would keep a very scrutinizing account of it. This happened, this happened, this happened, like that. But Madhavendra Puri was completely oblivious to it because he was absorbed in the service. Same thing, when one becomes absorbed in hearing and discussing Krishna Katha, then one becomes oblivious to the material miseries. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Like that. So then he says,
okay, so till now, he has mentioned that these are the, you can get bhakti by association of devotees, and the secondary qualities of devotees are titikshava, karunika, suhrida, sarvadehinam. The primary qualities are mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. They perform very determined, steady devotional service. This is their primary identity. And their activities are madashraya katamrishta shrenvanti katayanti cha. They get together and discuss, hear and chant the pure pastimes of the Supreme Lord. These are their, this is how they spend their time. So now he says,
tayete sadhavas sadvi sarva sangha vivarjitaha sangaste shvatate prartya sangha dosha harahite.
O sadvi, O virtuous mother,
ta ete sadhava sarva sangha vivarjita. These sadhus about whom I have been speaking to you, sarva sangha vivarjita, they are free of all attachment including moksha. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Sarva sangha vivarjita. Sangha steshu atate prartya. You should desire their association. Sangha dosha harahite. And they will destroy all the faults of material association. You are desiring to get liberated from the faulty material association. When you take the association of these sadhus, ta ete sadhavas sadvi, sarva sangha vivarjita, who are free from all desires, then sangha dosha harahite, you can overcome the faulty material association. You can be liberated from the faulty material association. So this is what you wanted and this is what you should do. Take their association. That is the only way. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Like that.
So then he says, okay, so till now, he has mentioned that these are the, you can get bhakti by association of devotees, and the secondary qualities of devotees are titikshava, karunika, suhrida, sarvadehinam. The primary qualities are mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. They perform very determined, steady devotional service. This is their primary identity. And their activities are madashraya katamrishta shrenvanti katayanti cha. They get together and discuss, hear and chant the pure pastimes of the Supreme Lord. These are their, this is how they spend their time. So now he says,
tayete sadhavas sadvi sarva sangha vivarjitaha sangaste shvatate prartya sangha dosha harahite.
O sadvi, O virtuous mother,
ta ete sadhava sarva sangha vivarjita. These sadhus about whom I have been speaking to you, sarva sangha vivarjita, they are free of all attachment including moksha. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Sarva sangha vivarjita. Sangha steshu atate prartya. You should desire their association. Sangha dosha harahite. And they will destroy all the faults of material association. You are desiring to get liberated from the faulty material association. When you take the association of these sadhus, ta ete sadhavas sadvi, sarva sangha vivarjita, who are free from all desires, then sangha dosha harahite, you can overcome the faulty material association. You can be liberated from the faulty material association. So this is what you wanted and this is what you should do. Take their association. That is the only way. So Prabhupada writes in the purport,
In Bhagavad Gita 15 chapter verse number 5, it is stated, who is qualified to enter into the kingdom of God? It is said there, Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha. This refers to one who is completely freed from the puffed up condition of material possessiveness. A person may be materially very rich, opulent or respectable, but if he at all wants to transfer himself to the spiritual kingdom, back home, back to Godhead, then he has to be freed from the puffed up condition of material possessiveness, because that is false possession. Sangha dosha harahite, he is talking about that. Later Prabhupada writes, we have to seek the association of such devotees. For this reason, we have begun the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There are many mercantile, scientific and other associations in human society to develop a particular type of education or consciousness. But there is no association which helps one to get free from all material association. So we have to seek that association. The only association that can help us get free from other material association is devotees association. That's what Prabhupada is writing here. So Prabhupada gives a very nice example. He says, because a devotee is freed from all contaminated material association, he is not affected by the miseries of material existence. Even though he appears to be in the material world, he is not affected by the miseries of the material world. How is it possible? Prabhupada says, there is a very good example in the activities of the cat. The cat carries her kitten in her mouth, and when she kills a rat, she also carries the booty in her mouth. Thus, both are carried in the mouth of the cat, but they are in different conditions. The kitten feels comfort in the mouth of the mother, whereas when the rat is carried in the mouth of the rat feels the blows of death. Similarly, those who are sadhavas or devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness in the transcendental service of the Lord do not feel the contamination of the material miseries, whereas those who are not devotees in Krishna consciousness actually feel the miseries of material existence. So he says that when a cat carries a rat, the rat feels like the cat to be death personified. But when the same cat carries a kitten, same teeth, same mouth, same tongue, everything is same. Okay? But because he has that firm faith in his mother, so he feels very rakshati iti vishwaso. So he is very peaceful. Same way, the devotee by practice of devotional service develops this quality of firm faith in Krishna. So therefore, he is completely without any distress, like that Prabhupada is writing. So I'll do a very quick recap of what we have seen till now, and then we will end, then we'll continue the rest of the chapter in the afternoon session. So Mother Devahuti expressed her desire to Kapila Dev that Nirvinna Nitaram Bhuman Asat Indriya Tarshanat. You know, I am really distressed with this material existence. It's so much suffering because of engaging my senses in sense gratification. So somehow please get me out of this and I want liberation. In response, Kapila Dev said, no problem, I suggest Adhyatmik Yoga for you. This Adhyatmik Yoga is of three types: Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. And in all these practices, the pivot is the mind. Mind that is connected to matter is the source of bondage. And the same mind, when it is connected to Krishna, it becomes the cause of liberation. And these are the symptoms of a person who has been liberated. He is free from kama lobadibir malaihi, and he no longer sees himself as the body. And he realizes that that prakriti which was creating so much trouble and controlling him like anything has suddenly lost her power to control him. And then he says that of the three processes which can give you this kind of liberation, na yujyamanaya bhaktya bhagavatya kilatmani sadrushosti shivapanta yoginam brahma siddhaye. Bhakti is the process which can
is the process which is most effective in delivering this liberation. And how you can get this bhakti? Prasangam majaram pasham atmanak kavayo vidhu saeva sadhu shukrito mokshadvaram apavritam. You can get this through association of devotees, you can get bhakti. But who are devotees? Titikshavak karunika suhridas sarvadehinam ajata shatravashanta sadavo sadhubhushana. These are the secondary characteristics of a devotee. The primary characteristics are mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti yedridam. He performs steady and determined devotional service towards me. That is the primary quality. And such people are engaged in madashraya katamrishta shrinvanti katayanti cha. They are all the time engaged in discussing and hearing Krishna katha, and because of which they are not affected by material miseries. Tayete sadhavas sadvi. These are the people whose association you must seek, my dear mother, because you desire freedom from faulty material association or liberation from faulty material association. Association of these people can only give you freedom from faulty material association. So this is what Kapila Dev has to say to Devahuti. Till now, of course, he is going to say much more, that we will take that in the afternoon session. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.